The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Mel Kiper's latest mock draft is out. Oh, I geek out on that. Speaking of nerds. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Who do you want your team to draft? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, Raj, you're completely audible to the audience. You have not muted yourself on Zoom. There we go. Oh, there it is. The little mic came up. I'm in New York. Raj, my producer, is in L.A. These are still, you know, the COVID days, so that's how it goes. Brendan Bordop is in Connecticut. Hey, is Bordop good for you, Brendan? Is there some other title you want?
It's technical leader.
Technical leader. That's right, our technical leader. Brendan is in Connecticut. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Do the Knicks need to make a move before the deadline? Is getting Derrick Rose back kind of that move? Boy, he was saying he had COVID and it was no cupcake, 10 times worse than the flu. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
This year, it's like, no, it's Trevor Lawrence and then everybody else.
Mac Jones is really the one that's most interesting to me right now.
The Jets and Zach Wilson is a marriage that I think makes all sorts of sense beginning in 2021.
Let's start with the lesser of the two New York teams. You see, New York has traditionally, as many cities large enough to support multiple franchises in a given sport at the highest level, there's a heritage team and a clown team. A heritage franchise, a clown franchise. Unfortunately, in New York, in basketball, the Knicks have always been both. Now that the Nets are there, the Knicks are the clown franchise. And I don't know if you can call the Nets the heritage franchise, but that's the serious one. In baseball, Yankees are the heritage franchise. The Mets are the clown franchise. And in football, the Giants are the heritage franchise and the Jets are the clown franchise. But that clown franchise has a chance to get a quarterback, and Zach Wilson, everyone likes a whole lot. And according to Mel Kiper, he's down to 50-50 here on whether or not the Jets keep Sam Darnold. Now, my strong suspicion is the Jets, let me see, that a rational franchise would give up on Sam Darnold now. Because what he has shown is that maybe circumstances conspired to keep him as by far the worst starting quarterback in football over his career so far. Maybe. And maybe he can get to be a good quarterback eventually. But even if he does, you're going to have to figure out whether or not you want to pay him very soon. He'll be on his second contract. And then what do you want to pay him? And is he ever going to be a great quarterback? Don't ever look like there's greatness in there. Maybe goodness, but not greatness. Or would you like to reset the clock with a rookie contract with a guy I think most would say has a higher upside than Sam Darnold in Zach Wilson? So Mel is down to 50-50 that the Jets keep Sam Darnold. I got to think in a rational franchise, it's more like 95-5 that they draft Zach Wilson and trade Sam Darnold. But again, we're talking about the Jets. Free agency did not tip off general manager Joe Douglas's plan. He went out and got some receiving help, Corey Davis, Keelan Cole. But his team needed weapons regardless of who was playing quarterback. We still have a ways to go before round one begins. But this is a scenario in which Douglas gets a second round pick for Darnold, maybe from the 49ers. If you can get a second round pick for Sam Darnold, like there is some book on Sam Darnold now. It's not like he's just played a couple of games, played a couple of seasons. It's not that he's not that good. He's not a starting quarterback yet. If you're the dead last starting quarterback, the worst starter in football over your career, that means you're not really a starter. So you have some book on him that says this guy's not even a starting quarterback. And you get a second-round pick for him, and you got multiple firsts in this and next year's draft, and there's a guy in Zach Wilson people like better, most people, not Mel Kiper, most people at this point like Zach Wilson better than Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what there is to really think about here. And the only way I see it's not that you think so much of Sam Darnold, because if Sam Darnold turns out to be a great quarterback, that would be a shocking upset at this point. It's that you really don't see it in Zach Wilson or Trey Lance or Mac Jones or Justin Fields. You just look at those guys and go, nah, this guy doesn't have it. It's hard to watch. Look, how much Zach Wilson did I watch at BYU this year, right? It's hard to watch film of Zach Wilson and go, nah, the guy just doesn't have it. By the way, Justin Fields, too, had a couple bad games, and Mel Kiper's talked about this, but Justin Fields is a talented guy. Big, strong, talented guy. At any rate, it's hard to imagine that the Jets don't trade Sam Darnold and go get their preferred quarterback. Mel Kiper Jr., our NFL draft expert, of course, here at ESPN, on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the morning on the Jets potentially trading out of the number two spot.
It's a 50-50 thing, and you can project a trade. Well, if you do that, is it a certainty? And that's when I kept thinking about it and talking to people. If it's not a sure thing, why am I doing it? So I think Kyle Pitts would look great in a Jets uniform. I would personally trade out of two. I would go with Sam Darnold. That's me. I think they still have not necessarily made that call. Who knows? Maybe Joe Douglas has in his own mind already decided that. But people around the league say it's a 50-50 deal. I mean, you move forward with Sam, you get a guy at two, okay? Let's say Kyle Pitts. Say you just take Kyle Pitts at two, or you trade off a two and you get Kyle Pitts, or a big-time receiver like Jamar Chase or Devontae Smith to help out Sam Darnold. You go with Zach Wilson, you lose Pitts, Smith, Chase, Waddle, all those guys. So, and then you're getting Zach Wilson, who's an unknown. At least you know something about Sam. So, again, I think this is a tough call. I stuck with it because I didn't want to project the trade, knowing this is basically a 50-50 situation.
I don't know. I don't know if you do have, I mean, like, you have, you could draft Zach Wilson. You still have three number ones in the next, this year and next year, and whatever you get for Sam Darnold. You can't package that, some of that together, trade up and get the receiver you want? Are the Jets even a receiver away? How about using those first just to get a bunch of impact players? Meantime, the Giants, I really like what Mel has for the Giants because their needs have changed. Look, Nate Solder getting back. When you look at the Giants O-line right now, there is some talent on it. I mean, Zeitler's not there anymore, and I don't know why you trade Odell and Zeitler's like the main thing you're getting back, and then you just cut him and let him go somewhere. But they have guys. Andrew Thomas came on in the second half on the offensive line. Will Hernandez is talented, though he hasn't really developed yet. They have, you know, Pert. They have guys with some talent. Add Nate Solder to the mix. They probably should draft an offensive lineman in the second or third round. But what the Giants are pretty loaded. You know, I have to say, the signing of Galladay and Kyle Rudolph, not to mention Ross, like, Daniel Jones has a lot of weapons, and Saquon's coming back. They didn't have Saquon last year. You add Saquon freaking Barkley and a solid overall tight end to Engram, who has high upside, and Galladay, you know, to Slayton and to Sterling Shepard. The Giants are loaded on offense and on defense too. They have a lot of guys on defense who can get it done and are versatile, but are not like edge rushers. You know, like Leonard Williams, an excellent defensive player, and he can sack the quarterback. But he can play on the interior, exterior, he on the outside. Same thing with Blake Martinez. What the Giants need is an edge rusher. And apparently, in Quiddy, the defensive end, I thought he was a linebacker, but the defensive end out of Michigan, that's who Mel thinks the Giants will target. And I, as a Giants fan, would be really happy with that, to go get a real pass rusher and put him on this Giants team that's looking more and more stacked by the day. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. CP the franchise. From Knicks Fan TV joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. CP, where are you? Oh, boy. Classic CP the franchise.
No, I'm here, baby.
Where
I'm loud
it?
And clear.
Oh, there he is.
Loud and clear. There he is.
There he is. CP the fan.
How's everything, Max? Back again after the 4-0 sweep. Nielsen checked in. It was ratings gold. Mm. They're now talking about WandaVision Season 2. I don't know. I got to wait until this next season is over with, man, before we get to that stuff.
Well, the next season is over.
Glad to be back on with you.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm glad to have you. Now, listen, let's start with Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose, you know, even if they don't make a big move at the deadline, I really liked the Derrick Rose move with the Knicks because you can't just have a bunch of young ascending players on a team. You need a veteran or two who's going to be good in the locker room, who's been around the block, But not just a guy with a name or a guy who's on that. A guy who's still going to get minutes and contribute, so he really has the respect in a different way of the team. That's been Derrick Rose, but apparently COVID hit him hard. The quotes are like, it was serious. What do you think Derrick Rose's return means?
It's a tough setback, you know, as he works on his conditioning and get back from COVID. But what his return means is not only the impact on the young guys, but the impact on the starting lineup, because that's where I would like to see him in replace of Elfrid Payton. When he started in place of Payton for three games a couple weeks ago, he had that offense moving. He had the offensive rating up. He established a good rapport with Julius Randle and RJ Barrett in terms of the pick and roll, pick and pop game. So I think Derrick Rose is vital for this team on their playoff run and someone to close games. You know, we've seen with the Knicks lately is that they're looking for options to close these games out. Julius Randle, he's folding a little bit under pressure. He's having a tough time kind of getting there. Rose can give them another option in addition to RJ Barrett as a closer, which I think is very important as well.
And usually closers are not front court guys. If they're front court guys, they're wingmen, swingmen. That's not Julius Randle's a power forward. He's a stretch four, as you have to be if you want to be really good in the league right now. He's not built like a closer. Although I'll say he's not built like a defender either, and he's become a pretty good defender. Do you think, here's my number one issue with Randle right now. And you saw, I've had this criticism of James Harden in the playoffs. Harden I never felt was selfish, but I did feel he's a choker. He consistently underplayed his value or played under his regular season value when it mattered most. And I would notice things like, he'd be like a playoffs a couple years ago. They could have stolen a game from Golden State. Instead of looking to hit the shot, he jumps under Draymond Green's legs and looks to get the call. Hey, ref, give me the call. Like, have a whistle, bail him out. What I've noticed from Julius Randle that I don't like recently is he's whining about calls a lot.
Yeah.
What do you think about Julius Randle's complaining to the refs recently?
He's got to cut down on that. You know, it happened to him during the Nets game. It just happened to him during the Philly game. And he had a right to complain. He had a right to protest, as did Tibbs. I thought the officiating near the end of that Philly game was atrocious. But I think he's got to lock back in and come back to the team, because these type of things will knock you out of it mentally. And he's our 1A right now. You know, he might not be a true 1A, but he's our go-to guy. So he's got to lock in, you know, overcome the adversity of the Zebras and just do what he has to do to get us a W. He had a chance in that game against Philly. He got us into overtime with a lucky three-pointer, and he could have easily won the game. You know, that last second shot that he had there, down 101 to 100, it literally just rimmed in and out. So he's there, but he just has to lock in. Don't let the Zebras get to you, and continue to focus on helping this team get better.
I want to talk about the trade deadline, because I'm sure LeVar Ball would love Lonzo on the Knicks, because he'd be in New York City. And Lonzo, in certain respects, reminds me of Mark Jackson in the sense that he's a pass-first, big, strong guard who, even though like Mark Jackson was setting assist records, but teams who had him were always looking like, hey, maybe can we get something a little better than this? A guy who's a little more athletic, and sometimes would focus on what he didn't do instead of what he did. He was a very valuable player. It seems that way to me for Lonzo. There's a lot of focus on he's not as athletic as some other guys. On the other hand, he takes 7 or 8 threes a game. He hits almost 40% of them nowadays. Every year his shooting gets better and better. And so it's not like a mirage. At the free throw line from three-point land, he is a real point guard first, set up his teammates type player. He's unselfish. He's a perimeter defender. He can rebound. He fits with a lot of teams and would seem to me to be a great fit on an ascending Knicks team. But you gotta, as James Toney once said, I can't repeat it, it's a family show, you gotta bring something to get something. And you'd have to give something up to go get some serious stuff up to go get Lonzo. Would you want the Knicks to do that at the trade deadline?
At the right price, absolutely. You know, you look at Lonzo Ball, he's 23 years old. He does a lot of things that Tom Thibodeau likes. Number one, he defends. His three-point shooting has gone up to 38%. His free throw shooting has gone up to 75%. You want to see him be a bit more aggressive. He's not the, you know, dribble penetration, attack the rim type of point guard that Tibbs wants. But as I said, the defense is there, 38% from three. Even better, 46% from the corner three, which is an area that Tibbs likes to emphasize on the court. So Lonzo kind of fits that bill. He has the speed to push that pace. As Magic said on First Take today, you know, the Knicks are dead last in transition buckets. They're dead last in pace. Lonzo can absolutely help you do that. Maybe he can unlock Obi Toppin, who's been struggling mightily in his whole rookie campaign. So we could use that point guard that can play in that pick and roll, help push the pace, defend, and be an outlet for Julius Randle and RJ Barrett on their driving kicks, shooting 46% from three rather than Elfrid Payton. So it all depends on the price. You know, he's going to be a restricted free agent going into the offseason. David Griffin, you know, he's a shrewd GM. He's not just going to give him up for nothing. So you're going to have to pay to play. They're also talking about that Lonzo wants $20 million and on his next deal. So there's a lot to be cautious of, but there's no doubt Lonzo could help us.
Talking to CP, the franchise from Knicks Fan TV, someone who frankly has clearly idolized me through the years and tried to base what he does on the Max Kellerman model. And it's a pleasure to sun you here on this show.
You're still trying to catch up, Max. Like I said, the Blake Griffin of media. But please, proceed. Please. Okay.
Blake! So I want to talk to you about something you've been saying, I've been saying about Kristaps Porzingis, because you've been putting it on social media. I never said Kristaps Porzingis was Kareem. What I said was, when I was trying to explain to people, by the way, when Kristaps was a Knick, how unlikely he is to even exist. He is, imagine, like, think of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Think of how tall he is, 7'1". He's 7'3". It's like Kareem plus 2 inches, only he can take you off the dribble and shoot the three. Kristaps Porzingis' skills package is just, it's unprecedented at his height. But I never said he was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. What are you talking about? I never called him Kareem.
Max, you said this guy was the second coming, like he was just going to be the next generational talent. And Kristaps is a talent. You know, I'm not going to hate on him. But he might not even be in the top five power forwards in the game right now. You got Giannis. You have AD. You have Jokic. He's not better than Randle right now. 23-11-6.
Jokic is a center. Giannis is a, I don't know what Giannis is. He's like a 4-5.
Giannis is the freak.
He's a point center or something.
How about AD?
What's that?
How about AD?
AD is better than Kristaps.
Yeah, and so Julius Randle.
Giannis is better than Kristaps. Embiid is better than Kristaps. That's three. Jokic is better than Kristaps. That's four. But we're taking
Julius Randle.
Get out of here. But we're taking two positions, the four and five, and we're combining them. So when you say top five, you're really saying top five at two positions. That's like 10 players. Do I think he's one of the 10 best bigs? Here's the issue with Porzingis. He can't stay healthy. And that was always the risk with him. So he spends all year getting back to what he was, and therefore he can't advance. But I will point out that when he gets back to the best he's been, he's devastating. He was devastating in the playoffs last year. Why are you so down on Porzingis, CP? Because the Knicks made a boneheaded trade?
You prop him up again like he's the second coming. He's not better than Randle right now. 23-11-6. He's making his teammates better. Yeah. Randle shooting 41% from three.
He's healthier than Porzingis. That's true.
That's a big part of the game.
Sure.
The best ability is availability, as they say, right? So that's
so
a
you're
part of the game.
But that's not the reason you're hating on Porzingis. You're hating on Porzingis, which is what you're doing 100%, because the Knicks made a stupid trade. They made a stupid trade. Stupid. No. Can you say the Knicks made a stupid trade? Go ahead. Fix your mouth to say stupid trade. You know it's true.
I'll give you this. I will give you this.
Yes.
When the trade first happened, I thought they botched it.
Right.
I thought they could have gotten a lot more for him. And I thought that's part of why Steve Mills was on the unemployment line. They moved him to the board of directors. Thank you, Dolan. But, you know, they could have gotten more for him. I thought they should have. It was tough to lose him when we did, because Porzingis had endeared himself with the fan base. But Randle is coming.
7'3", a defensive game changer, and a guy who can shoot from the outside and defend in space when he's healthy.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
When he's healthy.
How old were you when the Knicks made the following move? I'll never forget this.
Yeah.
They draft Nene, and they have Marcus Camby. And they decide, you know what, we want to give up Marcus Camby and Nene for the remains of Antonio McDyess. Remember that move?
Yeah, because of course. That was one of Scott Layden's genius moves, and it was horrific.
What about trading Patrick Ewing for cap problems? Remember that move? Because the Porzingis move was like that. The Porzingis move, and they tried to sell it to the fan base. They tried to sell it as, well, we want to clear cap space. Whoever did the Houston Rockets trade Hakeem and say, well, we need to clear salary cap for Dirk Nowitzki, Tim Duncan. Were they traded? Well, we need to clear salary. You use that guy as a magnet for other stars.
So, listen, they went in 10-2. As I said, this was not Mills' finest moment. They went in 10-2 with Doyle Brunson for two max contracts and they struck out badly. Yep. And I thought that was the biggest mistake. Unless they had a for sure promise with Kevin Durant, you don't make that move with Porzingis. But that's neither here nor there, Max. We have Julius Randle here. He's a perfect
very, very good
replacement for Porzingis. We have the cap space in order. We have our draft picks in order. And by the way, Dallas sitting in the eighth pick in the West. If they don't make that that playoffs, that's another lottery pick for the Knicks. So, it's house money. Dallas, we are back Dallas to square is, one, and we're good to go.
Yeah, Dallas is going to make the playoffs and also probably upset a team or two in the playoffs, by the way. And Kristaps Porzingis will be an enormous part of that. You know why? Because he's 7'3" and can do everything.
If
that's
healthy,
why. Yes, if
healthy.
And
Max,
by the way, Julius Randle.
This was Phil Jackson's issue. This
Julius
was Phil
Randle
Jackson's issue
has
been, with Porzingis.
Julius Randle has been tremendous. Can't say enough good things about Randle.
Yeah.
It looked like this league was not for him, like it had evolved past the type of player he was. And he showed that he had some real substance because he evolved. He forced himself to evolve with the game and has been great for the Knicks. There's no two ways about it. CP the Franchise from Knicks Fan TV. We're going to talk to you every week. As I think it's good exposure for you to see how I do things so you can take the next step in your own career. Seeing as I'm going to call you Mini-Me or something. I don't know. I'm going
I take my cue, Max. I don't know if you remember Flavor Videos, Bobby Simmons.
Bobby
he was
Simmons,
more of my
of
public access
Bobby
idol
Simmons.
Than Young Man Rumble.
Yeah, that's right. Video Music Box.
I know my history, Max.
Video
I don't got to do my Googles.
Box.
I know what time it is. I used to have the rabbit ears in the kitchen trying to, angle it up.
Bobby
I know
Simmons
I'm
from
about.
Public Access you're talking about.
Yeah,
that's a whole different thing. Yeah,
I thought I had Video Music Box, too. I was all up on it.
That's right. Max on Boxing. That's right. What about my brother Sam's show? You ever see Sam Kellerman live?
Probably. I missed your show, but Sam's show is great, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Salute to Sam.
Yeah, thank you very much. CP the Franchise. Yeah. That's a nice thing for you to say. Talk to you next
week. Absolutely, man.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. With the Lakers hurting, is it now the Nets championship to lose? It's time for some straight talk. Your tax return could look different this year, but you're still going to hear a lot of noise about how to spend it. So when the big carriers tell you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out. With Straight Talk, you can get Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense and tune into Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract. No compromise. The Nets, the team to beat.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Lakers are hurting. Who takes their spot? It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm coming to you live from the Seaport District to Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. The Nets are your new title favorites with the Lakers hurting. Possibly not 100% healthy the rest of the year. We'll see. Is it the Nets championship to lose? Because, look, KD is supposed to come back at some point. Although I will say, if the Lakers have all these question marks because what about AD? When was KD last seen on a court this year? You know, it's been a long time. The Lakers' issue is this now. Let's say AD and LeBron together missed the next 15 games. Remember, originally AD, or the last we heard, AD is supposed to play in April. It's almost April. What are we, March 23rd? But let's say they miss 15 games. They got a six-game lead on, a six-game cushion in terms of their playoffs position. Now, this year, as was the case in the bubble, number 9 and 10 in the conference. Used to be 8 teams from the conference go to the playoffs. Now, 9 and 10 play a playing game. So two-thirds of the teams are still playing after the season. And you would think in a one-and-done situation, the Lakers would surely win a play-in game with LeBron and AD against, whoever's there in the 9th slot. Or 10th slot. So as long as they don't wind up in 11th place in LeBron and AD's absence, they're going to be fine. And let me tell you why. In the Western Conference, whether it's in the first round, the second round, or the conference finals, you are going to have to play, if you're the Lakers, some permutation, some combination of Denver, Utah, the Clippers, Portland, Dallas, you're going to have to play Phoenix. Dallas can upset anyone. I'm just telling you right now. Look what's happened since they got their guys back. And don't let Porzingis stay healthy and take any steps forward in terms of the level he's played in the past. He is due to get better than he's ever been one of these years if he can stay healthy. Luka's an MVP caliber player. They got 3-and-D guys with size on that team, right? They have some experience now. That's a problem. Dallas can be a problem, just like they upset the Clippers last year. Denver. You know, Denver, well, you know, Jamal Murray's not the same exactly. Jokic might be the MVP right now. He's playing at historically, practically unprecedented levels, considering all the things he does at the five position, right? Great. He's leading the league in PER. He's having a great, great season. Just a beast, like great passer, great passer. Can bring the ball up if you need him to, can rebound the ball, score from everywhere. But Jamal, and by the way, Porter Jr. has been scoring. But the issue's been Jamal Murray is normally like about all-star level. And, you know, 5 stars is MVP, 4 stars is all-star, 3 star is starter. My star system, my 5-star system. Jamal Murray, regular season, is like a 4-star-ish player. All-star, maybe not, maybe yes. Playoffs, he's about a 5-star player. If that Jamal Murray shows up again in the playoffs with Jokic and now Porter Jr., oh, Denver could be a problem. But what about Phoenix? They went 8-0 in the bubble. They added Chris Paul this year, and Conley now is comfortable there. DeAndre Ayton, see the game he had the other day? Phoenix is a problem. Utah, we know already. And Portland got McCollum back. Look at the way Lillard's been playing. Now has McCollum back. I'm just saying, the Lakers are going to have to beat at least two of those teams. And then, by the way, the Clippers. Still got Kawhi and Paul George, y'all. Still got them. They're going to have to beat, the Lakers are going to have to beat, at least two of those teams in the playoffs, whether it's in the first round or the conference finals, right? That's why I wouldn't sweat it too much, Lakers fans. I mean, you need LeBron and AD to get back as themselves, but provided they're back with a little cushion before the playoffs to really get things together, I think they're going to be fine. Of course, you want to avoid a playing game, but I got to believe with the money on the line, LeBron James and AD lead a team over a 9th or 10th seeded team in the Eastern Conference. In the Western Conference. That's one. And once they win that one game and they're in, I got to believe, well, it's not whether I got to believe or not, is why wouldn't they? Like, if they can't beat Denver or one of these teams, you know, Utah or something, on the way to the conference finals, then they would have lost to them in the conference finals anyway. And I don't think they will. I think the Lakers are going to be fine, provided LeBron and AD are healthy. 888-729-3776. Richard in Manhattan, did you see how I shouted you out on First Take? What a moment in your life when I shouted you out on First Take today.
Max, thank you for the acknowledgement today. Me and my mother, we were watching you, and you thank you very much for my for your credit to me.
Well, you
Max,
deserve
let me just get back to something you said about Elgin Baylor.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned all the great plays in the past, excluding the centers. You forgot a player who I think was better than Elgin Baylor, and I'll explain to you why. John Havlicek.
Okay, Havlicek.
Whereas Elgin Baylor invented the game in the air, and he did. He was the first jumping jack basketball player. He can do everything in the air. John Havlicek invented the running basketball game. In other words, before Havlicek came, and with the advent of the fast break with Bill Russell and Cousy and Casey and Sam, basketball was a half-court, slow-down, set-up game. The Celtics were like the German army when they went on the fast break. They were unstoppable. They invented running basketball. Now, do you know the difference between Havlicek and Elgin Baylor?
Richard, I'm going to let you get
championships.
I'm going to let you get this last one off, and then we have to stop talking about John Havlicek now. Okay?
9 championships at
Yes,
Max,
because
nine.
He was on Bill Russell's team.
But Bill Russell was great. Elgin Baylor had Jerry West. He had Dale Goodrich. He had Dick Barnett.
He had
Rudy
LaRussa.
He had
real players.
They never won. The Lakers never won.
Well, Bill Russell was 21-0 in deciding games in his career as an amateur and pro. High school, college, the pros. He faced 21. Here's the ultimate game. Whoever wins, wins the championship. Whoever loses goes home. He never lost. But by the way, I think it's generally acknowledged, as great as the Lakers teams were, much like in the 80s, Magic's teams were a little deeper than Bird's teams. In the 60s, you know, the Celtics were a little deeper than the Lakers. right? I mean, I think that's generally acknowledged. Casey Jones and Barnett and this one and that one, and they had a lot of guys. The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as Zion and the Pelicans host the Lakers, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. NFL draft coming up. Major League Baseball opening day next week. Wow. Oh, it's so good. Put the Yankees on. You don't even have to watch the game. You just put it on in the background like wallpaper. Check it out every now and then. Look, Esther. Look, Sammy. Look, Mira. That's Aaron Judge. Make them watch an at-bat here and there, my daughters. Who has the most pressure in New York as a GM? Here's good news. Even with high unemployment, there's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. My computer career is training people to meet the demand. If you don't have IT experience, don't worry about it. It's not a problem. Take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Gettleman, Cashman, Joe Douglas. Who's under more pressure? By the way, throw Leon Rose and World Wide West and the Knicks front office in there, too. I mean, you know, the Nets, dude, that front office is just showing off. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You miss any of the show today? It was fantastic. Words can't even describe it. You're going to have to hear it for yourself. You can always find both hours of the show posted as a daily podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Someone has a bone to pick with Richard from Manhattan. Before I get to that, let me say the guy under the most pressure in New York as a GM is actually Brian Cashman. And I'll tell you why. He is the GM of the New York Yankees. That is a league without a salary cap. The Yankees have won one World Series in the 21st century. And I know you can't win the World Series every year, but damn it, I absolutely insist you win it more than anyone else here, the New York Yankees. And in this century, the Red Sox have won four. Now, not only must you win it more than anyone else, that's a mandate. You absolutely have no excuse. You've been the GM the whole time for having your hated rivals in your own division win 4-1. There's no excuse for that. It's not. Cashman's a very good GM. I think everyone acknowledges that. But that's not good enough for the Yankees. You can't just be very good. Because four times the Red Sox GM was better than you. Let me tell you how often that's allowed to happen. Zero times. Zero times. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Solomon in L.A. You have a bone to pick with Richard from Manhattan, Solomon?
Yeah, man, you bet I do. Longtime Laker fan. I watched Elge and Jerry West play at the sports arena. Mm-hmm. So please don't come with this, you know, Havlicek nonsense.
Oh, yeah, Havlicek was great. He had a lot of Sam Jones and Bill Russell, a lot of guys.
I understand. And he said, well, why was he better? Because he had 9 chips. No, he was better because he played on the Celtics. If you want to play the chips game, then Michael Jordan was not the greatest player of all time. Must have been Bill Russell. So let's not even go to the chips game. Elge was the original Michael Jordan. No one played basketball like Elgin in his
time. All right, hold on a second. Is he still there? Is Richard from Manhattan still there, guys?
Yes.
All right, wait a minute, Max. Richard. Solomon from L.A. is very upset with you. What do you have to say for yourself?
Max, nobody played the game like John Havlicek. I put Havlicek above Bird. I put him above West. They didn't win anything. Even Jerry Lucas and Oscar Robertson couldn't beat him. Bob Pettit couldn't beat the Celtics. They were that good.
Wait a minute. Solomon, wait a minute, wait a minute.
Greatest ball player ever.
Solomon in L.A., you hear Richard saying... You hear him saying clearly, it's not just that they won all those chips. He said he wouldn't put Larry Bird ahead of Havlicek. That's because Richard may have a screw loose. We're going to find out about that. But what do you have to say to that, Solomon? Yeah.
Okay, here. Wilt Chamberlain back in the day, talking old school. Wilt, what's your starting five? Elgin and John Berry at forward. Jerry West and the Big O at guard, and it was a joke. He said, well, who's at center? And Wilt goes, you're looking at him, baby. There's your top five.
Said Bill Russell was better than him.
Basketball player.
Bill Russell was better than Wilt Chamberlain.
May have been, but I'm just saying, no mention of Havlicek there, okay?
No. All right. Wait a minute. What about that, Richard in Manhattan? No mention of Havlicek. Now, and I noticed you're doing the Havlicek because you're doing it like you're doing it really pronouncing every letter there. Most people say Havlicek, right? But anyway, what do you have to say about that? You do seem to be counting chips exclusively. Why Havlicek over Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Larry Bird? Why?
Max, after Bill Russell retired, John Havlicek won two championships with Cowens, with Chaney, with Charlie Scott, Steve Kaberski, Don Nelson, Paul Silas. Yeah. Havlicek was the greatest, in my opinion, next to Russell.
Okay, wait a minute, Richard. Wait a minute. I want to get back to Solomon in L.A. This is the battle of the old timers. This is like King Kong versus Godzilla. Only with how old are you, Solomon? Are you the Solomon from the Bible? Are you the same one? How old are you?
I could be. I'm 72 in July.
72? Hold on. Let's get Richard on the phone for a second. Richard, how old are you?
I'm 66 in May.
Okay, so he is older than you, Richard. He's 70.
Max,
he's 72.
Havlicek, yeah. Steal in the history of the NBA. When Philadelphia inbounded the ball in the Eastern playoffs, he stole it from Hal Greer, inbounding to Wally Jones. Only Havlicek could have done that.
Okay.
Only Havlicek.
Now let me ask Solomon. Solomon, David versus Goliath. How did he do it? Were you there?
As far as if I saw that moment with Havlicek.
No, David. David versus Goliath. Did you see it? Were you there? Did you witness it? Were you ringside?
Not quite. But
okay.
I did read about it.
What about what he's saying about Havlicek? The fact that, and I do buy this, Solomon, in all seriousness, it's not exactly that I'm exclusively counting chips. Like, Jordan won 6, Russell won 13. To me, Jordan's 6 are actually more impressive than the league he played in, et cetera, et cetera. However, there is something to be said for the guy, no excuses, he just continues to win even after Bill Russell. What about that?
I will grant him that. I will grant him that. Okay. That was definitely an accomplishment. Elge couldn't stick around. The man had knee problems, and that was the end of his career.
Right, he would have won a championship that year. He would have won a championship that year. Right. 72. Okay, so there it is, Solomon in L.A. and Richard in New York, battling it out. Battle of the Geezers. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Much more coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.